Today, I am going to give you 37 differences between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. Just to remind you before we start this up, there are two gospels in the New Testament, so-called, the two so-called New Testament. I like to call it the Greek scriptures, but there are two gospels, not four. Most people think there are four, but you're not most people. Most people think that the four gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those aren't four gospels. Those are four accounts of the same gospel. Four different viewpoints. Four different viewpoints. One writer is looking at it from this angle, one from this angle. Watch the camera. One writer is looking at it from this angle, one from this angle. They're all looking at the same scene, but they're writing it in a different way. Four accounts of the same gospel. However, in the New Testament, in the Greek scriptures, there are only two gospels, but they are distinct as can be. They are the gospel to the circumcision, that is to Israel. But there's another gospel. It's to the nations. But Israelites can also join it if they're feeling adventuresome, okay? This is the gospel of Paul. You need one verse to prove that there's two gospels. I got that verse for you. It's Galatians 2, verse 7. Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter, of the circumcision. That proves everything to you. Now, I have a handy-dandy book here that I wrote. This is the best book ever written on the two evangels because it puts everything in one place. I couldn't find a book that put everything about the two evangels in one place, so I had to write it. It was a lot more of a hassle to do that than to just find it, but I couldn't find it, so I had to write it. It's called The First Idiot in Heaven. Listen, have I got a gospel for you? This is what it says on the back of this book. While he was on earth, Jesus did some difficult things. He said some difficult things too. In fact, that's what it says. He said difficult things. He told the rich to give away all their money. He told the joyful to become mourners. If you wanted to inherit the earth, you had to be meek. If your eye offended you, no problem. Just pluck it out. A friend of mine heard this and he said, can I start following Jesus on Monday? I'd like to enjoy the weekend. Obviously, the words and commandments of Jesus Christ are pure, perfect, and holy, and meant for Israelites. Well, Jesus himself said, and I quote, you have to quote this because people just can't believe it. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's Matthew 15:24. It's his own words. And Paul confirms it in Romans 15:8, saying that Jesus Christ became a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. And while he was on earth, he kept his words to Israelites. And it was a distinct message to Israel concerning the promises of Abraham. And as soon as you realize this, well, let me finish what I wrote here on the back of this book. This will change your life. This book will change your life. Is it possible that we have been struggling along someone else's path? What if the words in red were never meant to be our marching orders? Oh, that's huge, if that's true. But listen to this. Several months after leaving the earth, the Jewish Messiah appeared as a very non-Jewish light to a self-righteous idiot on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. Up next, not only a startling new destination for believers, heaven instead of earth, but a new message of pure grace for all humanity. This is that story. You know, I'd really like to read the whole introduction to you of this book. It's so good. And I think I'm going to do that. I am going to do that because I just had so much fun reading that back. And I'm going to share this with you before I get to the 31 differences. There they are. There are 31 differences. And I got verses for every one. 31 distinct differences. And really, it's obvious when you see it between the gospel to Israel, Israel only, and the gospel to the nations. But remember I told you, Israelites can join Paul's gospel, but they lose all national distinction. Paul's people, like the Romans, the Corinthians, these crazy Greeks who are out worshiping trees on Tuesday, and Paul told them on Wednesday that they were complete in Christ, they were worried that if Jews joined the gospel of the uncircumcision, in fact, Paul himself was a Jew, he didn't join it though, he was drafted, they were afraid that if they joined, then the Jews would still have preeminence, because you have to understand the first century mindset. Israel had preeminence in everything. Israel, they were the people of the book. The Jews were the people of the book. They were God's favored nation. And it was all that with Israel. And if you wanted to come to God, you had to come through Israel. We don't understand this. We forget how Israel had the market cornered on God. They were the only ones you could get to God through, because they were a priesthood nation. So even in the body of Christ, that's the new group I've been telling you about. When Jesus Christ showed up as a very non-Jewish light to this lunatic on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, there he is. Look on the cam. I got that. There he is. When Christ showed up to this man, he gave him a message for all humanity, and the nations were worried that Israel would still have preeminence. But no, Jew and Greek become one body in the body of Christ. That's what this group is called, the body of Christ. Israel, I don't want to say this too loud because somebody might hear me. Israel was never called the body of Christ ever. In fact, Paul is the only writer who uses the phrase body of Christ. Yeah. He's one of the only guy who uses the phrase Christ Jesus instead of Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is huge. This is one of the differences. I'm going to get into this. It's very important that you understand this. So you and I, we're going to have a talk about this. And I want you to send these videos to everybody, because this is one of the most important truths in the scripture. When I learned this, I always suspected something was up with Paul, because he was just saying some really radical things. When I found out that there were two gospels in the New Testament, two gospels, it changed everything. But everything made sense. Everything made sense. Jesus telling people to, you know, become mourners, give away all your money. These are all things that the Jews want to do. You know, the Jews want to perform for God and all these things. And it's like, man, is there a gospel for me? I'm supposed to imitate Jesus? I mean, the Jews were told to imitate Jesus Christ. It's like, but we're actually, our salvation is not a cooperative salvation. Israel's was and is. It's a cooperative salvation. It's still a grace, but it's not transcendent grace. That's the difference. Paul's message is transcendent grace. It's the amount of grace. It's lavish. It's crazy. I'm going to read now from the introduction to The First Idiot in Heaven, written by me, Martin Zender. Best book on the topic. That's just not my opinion. Many people have told me that, in fact. You want to live like Jesus. You really do. You're sincere as can be. But it's an uphill climb. You love people and you love God. So maybe today is a day that you can finally imitate His Son. Maybe today you can finally be meek, turn the other cheek, and rejoice while getting mud thrown in your face. Wouldn't that be great to wake up and finally be able to do all those things? Because you want to live like Christ. You want to do the right things, right? Think how good it would feel. Think how good it would feel to be pure. To have no sin and no guilt. Think how good it would feel to wake up calm each morning. To love everyone during the day. And then to rest your head at night with a prayer for your enemies. If only. And yet, never quite works out that way, does it? No, because in the darkness of your bed each night,
You know who you are.
Jesus was Jesus, but unfortunately, you are you. And when you curl up beneath the covers, you face the terrible truth. And this is it. This is the truth we all face every night. Those of us who want to do the right things. It's been another day of failure and frustration. If only there were a gospel in the Bible for common, ordinary human beings, or even mediocre human beings. It seems that the gospel of Jesus that tells us to live like Jesus sets the bar a little bit too high. Can we be honest with each other about that? Yeah, listen, I know all about this setting the bar too high stuff because I was raised a Catholic. And the nuns told me, this is absolutely true, they told me that all I had to do was to be meek and mild like Jesus. Plus, do everything else like Jesus. And I would go to heaven. That's all I had to do. But it did seem like a tall order for a kid who still had cartoons on his underpants. That was me. I don't admit that to a lot of people, but there it is. What did I know back then? I was a kid. All I wanted was to play football and eat candy. That's all I wanted. But they told me I had to live like Jesus if I wanted to go to heaven. Otherwise, I would go to the bad place. In fact, I remember asking one of the nuns who was continually tormenting me on this topic. I asked her, "Excuse me, Sister Batrill, do you do everything like Jesus?" Haha, bad question. My mistake. This is what Sister Batrill did after I asked that question. She fingered her rosary. She made threatening gestures with a yardstick. And she said, "Of course I do everything like Jesus. I do it for a living." Really? Well, I wasn't so sure. Because none of the drawings I ever saw of Jesus showed him holding a green yardstick. This nun was nuts. She didn't live like Jesus. Nevertheless, when Jesus was on earth, he said some difficult things. Can we all admit that? He told the rich to give away all their money and follow him. I've got a reference for you there. It's Mark 10:21. He told sophisticated people to become as children. Mark 18:3. If confidence was your thing, you had to lose it. Yes. Were you happy? Well, sorry to hear that. You needed to become sorrowful instead. That's what Jesus said. Here was a prescription. Give up joy for mourning and call me in the morning. Wow, that was a pretty good line. Jesus' prescription. Give up joy for mourning. Get it? M-O-U-R. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, and then call me in the M-O-R-N-I-N-G. That's pretty good. Okay, back to the book. All you have to do is obey all the commandments. Matthew 28:20. If your hand makes you stumble, no problem. Cut it off. Matthew 5:30. If your eye wanders, well, we can fix that as long as you, well, here's how you fix it. You pluck out your eye. Yes. Got a reference for you there. If you want to pluck out your eye, go to Mark 9:47. Hey, quit whining. Honestly, it's better to enter the kingdom maimed and blind than to keep making fatal mistakes. Why do you keep making fatal mistakes? If you walk a mile with someone, congratulations. Not good enough. Tough luck. You walk another mile with that person. Got a reference for that too, Matthew 5:41. If someone sues you, takes you to court, sues you for the shirt off your back, congratulations, you gained the shirt off your back. Sorry, not enough. You gotta give away your coat too. Cassandra, you can't have a verse for that. Yeah, Matthew 5:40. Throw in your shoes and socks while you're at it. No, I don't have a verse for that. But better to be safe and naked than sorry. Be watching and praying. That sounds good, right? The only problem is be watching and praying or else. Luke 21:36. If the bridegroom arrives and your lamp has no oil, you're going to be cast into the outer darkness, where there will be one, weeping, and two, gnashing of teeth, and three, a pathetic lack of adult beverages, which you would get at a wedding if you were ready to go into the wedding. That's not in the Bible. I added that part. But the part about weeping, gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25:30. Now, after you hear all that, this is what the nuns told me, and this is what the priests at Catholic Church tell you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Yeah, have a good day. Have a good day. It's no wonder that a friend of mine, after reading the four accounts of the circumcision gospel, said, Martin, I want to live like Jesus. I really do, but can I start on Monday? I'd really like to enjoy the weekend. Well, I'm going to continue this introduction tomorrow. And probably for the rest of this week, we're going to be talking about one of the most critical topics in the scripture. Oh, wait a minute. I just noticed that the lighting became very good. I'm going to take advantage of this. The lighting was terrible. It's coming in. Now I got good lighting. I can't stop now. Hang on. Obviously, the words of Jesus, I got to take advantage of this lighting. Steven Spielberg would love this. They call it the magic hour. I got to take advantage of this. Obviously, the words of Jesus are perfect. His commandments are pure, holy, and they're refined seven times. And here's the killer part. And they're meant for Israelites. Yes, Jesus himself said in Matthew 15:24, his words. I didn't make these up. I wrote the book, but this is a direct quote from Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, that's Matthew 15:24. Look it up in any version. No version I've ever seen has been able to mess that up. Why haven't we believed these simple words of Jesus? His own words. Is it too shocking to think that while on earth, Jesus preached a national rather than a universal message? And there it is. Jesus preached on earth, when he was on earth, a national, not a universal message. So I don't know what's wrong with people. Is it too tough to admit that Jesus emphasized the law of Moses, the law given to Israel, rather than grace? Just when I don't want the sun, it's back. I usually like the sun, but it's screwing up my lighting here. I'm going to turn around a little bit. Is that any better? So why don't we just believe what Jesus said? Because it's shocking to think that he preached a national message. Everybody thinks Jesus Christ is preaching your one and only chance to get saved or go to hell for eternity. That's the problem. But when you realize that he's teaching specifically to Israel, and this, that he's teaching how to get into the kingdom, and everybody thinks that's eternity. That's another screw up. Jesus Christ, this seems, if Jesus was sitting next to me right now, he would tell you the same thing. I'm quoting his words. Jesus preached entrance into the 1,000 year kingdom, not eternity. He never promised anybody eternity. So all those threats about going to the Gehenna fire, all the threats about plucking your eye out, chopping off your hand, giving away your pants and your shirt and your underwear, this applies to Israelites and those who screwed it up. They miss out on the 1,000 year kingdom. Doesn't mean they're going to hell for eternity. Jesus never said that, never threatened it to anyone. And until you realize that his gospel was not people's one and only chance to go to heaven or be tormented in hell for eternity. This was the chance of Israelites. I say chance, you understand what I mean. I'm speaking relatively. This was the chance of Israelites to get into their dream world. This was their Disneyland. The Israel Disneyland was the 1,000 year kingdom, also known as the millennium, which was promised them from God through Abraham. Back in Genesis, that says, God said to Abraham, through you and your seed, all the nations of the ground, the earth, this terra firma would be blessed. And that's what an Israelite lived for. They lived to be the head of all the nations and not the tail. But they were always a little nation. But God chose them because they were little. But they kept sinning. They liked to worship foreign gods like Molech and Baal and Baal Peor and all these stinky gods they worshiped. And so they always screwed it up. But they're going to succeed in the future. So, Jesus would be saying this if he was sitting right here next to me. Yes, my message was localized. It was for Israel. I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came teaching terrestrial things, not celestial things. Paul confirms it. Jesus came. This is the most plain sentence Paul ever wrote, Romans 15:8. That Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. And because the light is playing havoc with Mike's show, I'm going to close for today, but tomorrow we're going to continue the introduction to the first idiot in heaven. If you can't wait, you can order this book at my website, martinzender.com. It's the best book you'll ever read. It's a thick one. Look at that. There's some meat here, folks. This is not Purina Baby Chow. Wait a minute. This Purina... Oh, that's Dog Chow? All right. This is not Gerber mashed beets. This is meat. But it's also written in a friendly style. It's written in a colloquial style. It's probably written on an eighth grade level. I'm not saying that to talk down to my readers. It's that I have to understand this truth at an eighth grade level before I can write about it in a simple way. This book is a simple book to read. It's magnificent. And it gets a little heavy at the end because I start talking about this, a heavenly destiny. I start talking about the highest purpose of God. You're not going to find all this stuff under one cover unless you get the first idiot in heaven. Well, I'm really sounding like a commercial now.